We're talking a little bit about affection this morning, our needs. We're going to be talking about that one word called sex. We're going to talk about some things this morning. So for you that maybe have some littles, I prefaced last week that this was what we were going to be talking about. Someone heard me say that we're going to be rated R. I'm not rated R. All right. So they got all nervous about like kids being in the room. I'm not rated R, but I am going to be talking about some things that involved in marriage. And if you haven't already spoken to your children about it, then you're going to have a fun car ride home today. All right. So just know I've warned you. All right. There is a comfort room right out here. My right, your left as you exit if you want to go hang out there. But there is a TV that's on in there, so you might have to turn down the volume. Okay, here we go. So why do we name it Mixtape Love Story, this series? Because I come from the 80s where we used to make mixtapes for your loved ones. And I believe that every season within marriage, you begin to create somewhat of a soundtrack to what you're doing. And so my wife and I, we have a full cassette tape of all these different seasons in our lives. And so we have love songs in there. We have some heavy metal songs in there. We have some songs in there, all right? So that's the whole theme of it. Last week, we talked about Help, I Married a Human. The one key ingredient that we can all remember throughout this marriage series is marriage is not just a contract that the government gives us, because marriage is not a contract in general. It's a covenant. Okay, so as long as you treat it like a contract, there's going to be this give and take of exchange. And when you put God into the marriage, it becomes a covenant, and then it's a working together. So it's not a give and take type of thing. And that's where we can go wrong. So this morning, I want to talk about basic needs. I want to talk about intimacy. I want to talk about affection. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Let me read it one more time. "And my God will meet..." Okay, I want everybody to say it in 3, 2, 1. All your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, a little side moment here is we know that we may not have everything we want. Wants are different. So be careful that you understand the definition and the balance of that. We may not have all we want, but God has blessed us with everything we need. When you present those things to him, you are literally saying, "God, you know what's best. You take care of me." Okay? That's where it's all at. Now, Lamentations 3:22 through 24, it says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him." We need to know, what comes first. That's where we have problems. We also have problems because we're not really great at prepping. Some of you really are. Some of you are like last minute moments, and you create habits that are really not successful habits. So you'll try to fulfill a need that can only be fulfilled by him. It pacifies you, but it doesn't fulfill you. And that's where we have to shift some of our thinking, okay? So I've asked David and Anna to come up here. So David and Anna, would you guys come up here? They're my guinea pigs this morning. So come on up. So I have an acquaintance. I want him to be my good friend. We're just friends right now. But his name is Chip Judd, and he is a marriage and family counselor. And so let's give you white because you're the bride. Let's give you red because, well, you're a stud. All right, come out here in front. So, guys, we got our buckets here, okay? And so inside of marriage, you have a bucket of what you have and what you need, and it's kind of a flow. So this is a Chip Judd illustration that I want to steal this morning, because this really helps with the understanding of basic needs. So if you have a need that you want fulfilled in marriage, Who are you going to get it from? Right? So, right. From your spouse. So, would you be... Oh, so, Dave, you're so kind. Did you guys see that effort? You have a good husband. He was quick. He was like, oh, don't worry. I got her. Right? Right in there. That was so good. That was not planned, by the way. I appreciate that. But now what just happened is that David was empty. He just put all of his things. So now David fills needs. So what's going to happen? Go ahead. Right. And now she's empty. And what's happening is eventually through the process of what we know is of like water in general, and this is what our illustration is that need in there, that eventually it evaporates. And then they're both dry, and then they've got nothing. And then they've got drips. And so there needs to be a real source. So I know this is not a great illustration, but this is your source from God. So God is the one that's filling you up, and then you're capable of dumping into your spouse. So if this is the source, then it's the good source because God is love, right? He meets all of your needs. So the key ingredient for this is to not cut this off, right? Because then you're just giving from a reservoir that has no fulfilling, actually nothing at all. And then what happens is that you're putting all of this weight on this one to actually fulfill your needs. And then what takes place is that this one gets a little tired, right? This one gets overwhelmed because she's doing all the work, right? She's the one doing this, and it's not a give and take in that covenant relationship. But it has to be from the real source here, okay? If you don't have this source, then what happens is that you begin to meet a good need with a bad source. Okay? You guys can have a seat. Thank you, guys. You're amazing. Well done. So, Chip Judge says it this way. Are you getting a right need met the wrong way? So, sexually speaking, we can use that as a real quick example of you need sex because you like that affection, you want that attention. And when the other doesn't have it for you, okay, then what happens is you go somewhere else to get that need met. But there are deeper issues to that idea of like, just give me sex. So don't think that's what we're talking about this morning of like, just have sex and make the other person happy. That's not the case, okay? There is a real understanding that you should actually, this is the most important thing, is that you should let go, free your spouse from that responsibility that this is how your need gets met by them. You need to actually tell them that I'm going to set you free. I'm going to stop this mindset that you're responsible for my happiness. Because your happiness comes from Him. That's the source. That's where this is coming from. So your happiness, your joy, your peace, your strength, right? Your affection, all those things come from Him. So when you actually let go of this responsibility from your spouse, then what happens is now you can find the real source, and then you're not sitting around empty, and you're sitting there holding this empty bucket and hoping that they fill it up. Because then you set expectations that aren't realistic, and you're going to fail, and you're going to actually be upset, and you're going to get really upset at your spouse. And that's not a good place to find yourself. It's a revelation and understanding is that I don't need something from my wife. I don't need something from my husband. I need these things from God. That sets the standard. Then from the outpouring of His love and His understanding and His supply, you're able to give into others. You're able to give into your spouse. That's where it happens, okay? So it's the overflow of what He's filling up. Therefore, there is no room for anything else. That's really important. Keep also in mind that God doesn't need your love, okay? So it's not like you're supposed to take your bucket that He fills and then like somehow fill His back up. No, all that God wants is for you to receive His love. That's what's so beautiful about our relationship with God. We overcomplicate it. He doesn't need your love, all right? He just wants you to receive his love. And when you start receiving that love, then you are learning how to love others. You're learning how to love your spouse. Those needs begin to be met and fulfilled, and it's really a beautiful picture. Now, what are some needs that we have? Now, there is a need that is evident for both genders, male and female. Those needs are love, encouragement, and identity, significance, you know, however you want to wrap that in. But those are the three basics of what we all are looking for. Now, let's divide it now with male and female. So female, women, they need security. They need affection. They need open communication. And they need leadership. Women are looking for these types of things. Now, that's not sexist in any way, shape, or form, okay? So a lot of people, if you're on that bandwagon, just hold on, okay? Don't be so testy with me right now. I need you just to take a deep breath, because then you're in a sense saying, you think that I'm saying that men need to fulfill that for women. No, no, no. God.
That's right.
All right, God is the fulfiller of those things, okay? So understand again, women, they need security, they need affection, they need open communication, they need leadership, okay? Men, typically men, we need honor, we need sex, we need fellowship, and we need domestic support, all right? So all of those things are going to come from God, all right? That's where it comes from. As God begins to pour that in, we're able to outflow out of our source, and then that's where this beautiful cycle begins to, it begins to function in the way that God has ordered it, okay? So when we take things out of order or we find our particular needs from other sources, then we break that beautiful cycle and we're actually diluting or we're poisoning, whatever word you want to use, to our source. Men, I can only pick on the men right now. Women fall in this category as well. Just remember, I'm not speaking in absolutes. That's impossible when it comes to marriage. There's going to be some overlap of things, okay? But men will find themselves in their identity in their work. Okay, we pour more into what we do, and that becomes our identity, and then we become consumed, and then we're not actually even present in our family, in our homes. And so then your wife, you begin to sow some things that are deep-rooted, resentment, whatever, and your wife is wanting you to be present, yet you're not present. You are thinking about everything else. So when she's wanting to have communications with you, talking about things, then she's talking to an abyss. You know, you're just like, you're not even paying attention. Therefore, she gets mad. And then out of nowhere, you're like, let's have sex. And she's like, I was trying to have sex with you by talking. Because women is communication. Because those are her feelings. It's not her problems, those are her feelings. So when she's communicating to you, she's actually talking to you from an affectionate side of like, I want to connect with you. When I'm connected with you, I trust you. And when I trust you, now I'm open to you. But if you're sitting there and your identity is focused in on work and everything else, you're not present with her, then she's not going to be present with you. So there is this beautiful flow of how God operates within a marriage. And God wants to be the one that helps you through this. So you find your identity in Him. So then He's going to orchestrate it that when you're at work, when you're going to Him to say, Lord, this is what I do for a living. God, show me how to operate in this. Lord, you supply my need of my identity. So as you're in your workplace, God gives you balance. He gives you instruction through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you that instruction where it's out of nowhere. You're like, oh, this is what I need to focus on, or this is what I need to do, or this is where I find my joy and my happiness is from Him, not from actually getting something done at work. And then you're not trying to like strive for these accolades from work, where this is where it's like, oh, yeah, I get more appreciated at work than I do at home. And it's like, again, imbalanced. You have to realize that it all comes from Him and Him alone. And when you do this, He'll fulfill those needs. He will show you these things. So That's important. That's important that you understand that your needs come from Him. So how does that work and how does that operate? Easy. In the morning time, you wake up, you begin your day, you're brushing your teeth, you're fixing your hair, you're getting your clothes on, and you just begin to talk to your Heavenly Father. Lord, today I'm preparing for my day. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to be the one, Lord, that you show me these next best steps I need to take. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing joy into my life. Lord, I thank you that you're helping through the power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of wisdom in what I do. And as you begin to pray those things out, you begin to study God's word, and you begin to put Him in the beginning, God will then start supplying that source. Throughout the day, you're going to be like, man, only God could have shown me how to do this. I don't have this earthly wisdom. I don't have this ability to do this, this, or that. God's going to give you a supernatural peace in the moments of storms within your workplace or in your home or whatever's going on. So you begin to talk to Him, and God begins to supply these needs, and then you go, that's it. That's my source. And then you don't have to have that endorphin moment where you're trying to get something else to satisfy you or pacify you. You actually need to be satisfied, and it only comes from the well. We know that Jesus said this to the woman at the well. He explains to her, hey, you don't realize this, but the living water is in front of you type of a moment. And when you tap into this, your supply is met. In every area. You're sleeping with all of these men. You know, he's calling her out. He's like that. He's calling out where her source is trying to be, you know, come from. So he's calling that out, and he's saying, don't do that anymore, because that's not it. These are habits you're formed to pacify you, but you've got to break free from that. And he's saying, it's just come to me. So that's where it's important that we wake up to ask, where are we getting our source from? Another way of doing this is let's talk about affection. And I'm talking about, like, you know, affection, words of affirmation. I'm talking about affection in the sense of flirting with your spouse or being present with them and listening, all those affectionate moments you have with your spouse. If you're having a hard time doing that, like either giving it or receiving it, then I would question your source. Like, meaning, like, you're not believing what God says about you. You're actually calling God a liar, in essence, because you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you are, you're sitting there and you're depleted in that affection world. Maybe you just keep drawing more and more from your spouse. It becomes across, the word is, don't be quick to label your spouse this way. Don't do this, actually. Just, if I give you a word, you're going to be like, oh, that's my spouse. Be very careful. Because again, now you begin to have, you start resentment. And you go down a path that's not good, okay? So be very careful. But what tends to happen is if all you do is just keep giving and you never receive from your spouse, and it's never the good stuff, then what happens is that person is narcissistic. And then it's all about them. So it's important that you identify it. In essence, to be that there's some behaviors here. I'd be careful to be like labeling your spouse, narcissistic spouse, you know. But I would tell you that you need to recognize some roots here, some seeds that are sown. And it all starts with yourself. Remember last week we talked about it's a human thing that you need to recognize your selfishness. You need to examine yourself in the mirror. So ask yourself, am I disappointed from my spouse? Because if you're disappointed from your spouse, then that's where I would say, where's your source then? I know that seems extremely hard, because it's easier said than done type of a moment, because you're like, Josh, I still need my spouse to love on me, and their source is not coming from our Heavenly Father. Therefore, I'm the one just giving, giving, giving. And I know that's tough. That's tough. And that's why I would encourage prayer. I would encourage the prayer of a softened heart towards your spouse. Lord, soften their heart. Reveal to them. Give them what they need. God, I pray that their eyes are open, that you become their source. You begin to pray this and you begin to believe it, knowing that God's going to fulfill it. He tells us to have faith. You need to have faith that God's going to do it, okay? I know that that seems counterproductive for some of you because you're like, I just want to punch him in the face, and maybe that will wake him up, right? Or I want to be mean to him, like, because that's the human nature of like, let me just be cold, let me be mean. But the Word of God tells us to love our enemies, not that your spouse is your enemy, but you're supposed to love them by what? Burning, you know, it's hot coals on their head, by loving them. So you're going to counteract some of these things by love. And where's that love come from? From Him. So He will tell you how to do this. And it's slow moments. Sometimes it might be big moments, but sometimes it's just slow stuff, okay? So don't give up. But I would encourage you to realize, self-examination, to realize, okay, am I the one that's giving all the time? Well, then maybe they're not receiving from our Heavenly Father, because I feel depleted at times. I'm like, I'm the one constantly giving. I'm never good enough. I'm never this. And that's where you go, okay, time out. If they're saying words like, you never do these things, you never do that thing, then it's kind of like, all right, but is there source from God? So that's the examination moment to go, is my source from my Heavenly Father? Is there source from our Heavenly Father? Begin to see some of these habits and some of the verbiage that they're saying that's not helping. Because here's why it's important. In Genesis chapter 2:25, it says, Adam and his wife, Eve, were both naked and they felt no shame. Now, nakedness in the Word of God, that word, is physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That they shared themselves totally in an atmosphere of intimacy with openness, metaphorically and physically. So again, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual. Like a husband and wife, you need to have that type of intimacy. You need to be completely open in nakedness. If you're not able to do that, then your source is not coming from God. That's your indicator. That's the moment to go, I don't trust them. Okay. All right. So then first step is you look at yourself in the mirror and go, why don't I trust them? Is because I don't trust God? You begin to examine your own heart. God will begin to fix and tweak and instruct, cut and prune, right? If you are beginning to have resentment towards your spouse, be careful, okay? So that source is from Him. You begin to examine your heart. You make sure you're in a good spot. Then you're praying at the same time, Lord, show my spouse what they need to do. Because there needs to be a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual nakedness in your marriage. 100%. My wife and I, we've had those moments, right? No one's perfect. We've had those moments and she's yelled at me. I've yelled at her. It goes hand in hand. She's yelled at me and she goes, you're not listening to me. And that is those moments you go, I'm not. I'm not. Why? Because I'm trying to get my agenda across. And this is where in a marriage, it's a give and take. And it's a receive and a giving moment. So I need to recognize, okay, she doesn't feel heard or understood right now. So I need to stop pushing my thought. Same for her. She's done this as well. I've said it. I've yelled, you're not listening to me. She says, okay, then I'm okay. Right? I can listen to you. And she hears me. And I'll re-say it again in a different way. I'll be like, do you understand? That's what I'm trying to say, my emotions. This is why. And there's usually a backstory of why I'm feeling this way. Right? Last night, we couldn't agree on dinner. Okay? And she's like, you're really quiet. Are you mad at me? But what she didn't really remember was that I had an eye moment yesterday and I took some Benadryl and I was just tired. So it was like a space cadet moment. She's like, you're being quiet. Right? And I'm like, well, the room is spinning. So, there's some quietness in there. So there's always there's always, you know, things that are happening. And we've got to be careful what we're causing, you know, cause and effect moment, what we're causing our spouse to feel. Like being aware of this, to go, okay, where is my supply coming from and how am I helping my spouse? How am I actually participating in this beautiful flow that God has created, that He's the source, and that through His source, our overflow goes into our spouses, and we have this beautiful relationship that God is orchestrating, and that God uses us as instruments for noble purpose. So in those moments where I can sense that when I walk in the room, my wife isn't happy, or my wife isn't, you know, her, something's happening, I can come in and be like, what's going on? Like, how can I come in? How can I help you? I'm only going to be able to do it successfully if it's from a pure source, from God. It's the only way that I can do this. And the same goes for her. On my bad days, she can come in, she senses the room, and she goes, something's going on. I go, I know. I don't want to talk about it. And she goes, well, what can I do? I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Just give me a little bit. It's got nothing to do with her. It could just be something else, and you know, externally. But she'll come in and she'll begin to then say, I want to help from the overflow that God has blessed me with. And that's the beautiful cycle that we find ourselves in. So it's deep, fulfilling love. And that's what's beautiful. It results in a stable, mature relationship that prioritizes communication first, right? Security, honor, and values like selfless devotion, okay? So that leads me to sex. So let's talk about sex. Sex is a good thing in marriage. It's meant for marriage, okay? Outside of marriage, you're getting a whole thing of who knows what's going to happen, okay? Complicate stuff. Overcomplicate stuff. So sex within marriage is a covenant. And it's considered a blood covenant, actually. Sex is meant for marriage. So I'm talking to you from that position and posture, not outside of it. So if you're having sex outside of marriage, this does not apply to you, okay, because it's perverted. So get mad at me all you want. It's what the Bible says. I'm always shocked when people want to fight and argue with me. And I'm like, it's not me. I'm a pastor. I think it'd be more shocking if I would tell you that sex was good outside of marriage. Then you'd be like, oh, and mad at me for saying that because it's outside of the Bible. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So it's kind of like, get mad at Jesus. I'm like, not me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Well, outside of marriage is perverted. And then you don't know what's going to happen, okay? So FYI. So sex is not what makes marriage great. Sex is great. But sex is not what makes marriage great. But it does act as an indicator of the health of marriage. So, for instance, rhetorical. When's the last time you had sex as a couple? If you're like, it's been a couple days. Good, healthy moment here, right? If you're like, haven't had sex in 2 weeks, then it's like, what's going on? Is there a medical moment? All of that kind of stuff gets excused. We know those things, okay? So don't be like calling me out. I have to take, you know, some type of a supplement to help on all these things. Is the health thing? That's a completely different ball game, and you know we're not talking about that, okay? If you're telling me that you haven't had sex in a month, we got some problems. If you tell me you haven't had sex in 6 months, we got some real problems. A year? Years? Big problem, okay? These are indicators of what's happening here. Like, is there not trust, a vulnerability, a true nakedness? Like, spiritually, do you not feel secure? Like, what's happening? What's taking place that needs to be addressed? Is there offense? Is there bitterness? What's happening? Because there needs to just be a real legit, like, I'm excited to be with my spouse. Like, you're going to have your moments, a little mad at him, a little bitter. We get those things, okay? But you need to be quick to eradicate that. Don't let the sun go down on your, right? So be careful. You got to be real careful with that. Ann and I, we've made instructions in our marriage. We don't sleep outside of our bed. No one's allowed to go downstairs and sleep on the couch, no matter what. Because that means you're going to sleep. You're letting the sun go down on your anger. So you don't ever go in another room. One time, I'm going to tell you this. This is really funny. This is bad. This makes her look bad, but it's not. I promise. Because I've done it too. Okay. But it was really one of those funny moments. We got in a fight, and it happened to be late at night. You know, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. Bedtime in our house is get in bed by 10, 10:30, and we're trying to get to sleep by 11, 11:30 type of thing, right? We get in a little spat. And she gets mad, and she goes downstairs. Now, I'm thinking in my head, she goes downstairs because she's wanting water, and she's just trying to get out of the room. But she went downstairs, and with the kind of a thought of, you're going to chase me. And so she's downstairs, and I'm just laying in bed. And she comes up, and she gets to the end of the bed with her finger, and she's like, you didn't even come after me. You were going to let me sleep downstairs. And I was like, oh, no, I wasn't. You know, it was one of those moments, right? So we've made the distinction of, decided upon, we're not going to do this. We're going to sleep in the same bed together, always. Okay? So we fight for each other. And we want the best for each other. So in the moment of rage and anger, we're upset about something, we're going to fight. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to forgive, and we're going to come to a resolution before bed. Even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, we're going to do that. And have we ever stayed up that late?
Yeah.
Shh. I wasn't going to tell him 100% yes, but yes. Yes, we've stayed up that late before. Why? Because it's important. Our marriage is important. So, all of that to say, sex is an indicator of something. There's a root cause to this. So, are you completely vulnerable in front of your spouse? Now, this is going to be some hard conversation in your car going home. There's going to be some hard conversation tonight. Some of you might be really mad at me because you're like, why did you expose that today? Because we haven't had sex in this long, and now we've got to talk about this. I don't know about you, but again, this is that key ingredient to that full nakedness. Sex is that indicator. That's the same way, that's why we call it a covenant. When you go to have your communion, okay, so, you know, we do communion here on the first Sundays of the month at nighttime when we do our prayer night, and we have it occasionally throughout the year here on Sunday mornings. It's important that in covenant with Christ, that you don't have unforgiveness in your heart. That you don't have some type of ill will towards somebody. So before you participate in the covenant, you need to be right with God. There needs to be this, okay? So it's important that you go, Lord, if I have bitterness or offense towards anyone, I don't want it, but I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then you can participate in that communion. In the same way with your spouse. That's why sex is an indicator of it's a healthy marriage or not. It's really, really important. There needs to be emotional safety. There needs to be this beautiful picture of when you come together. It's like passion driven. Like you want to please the other. You want to sit there and you want to take it to the next level of just, man, I'm so excited to be passionate with you. So there's some affection there. Remember, it starts off with, for women, it's communication. So listen to your spouse. Listen to what they're saying. For men, man, there's so many things that we need. We need some affirmation. We need some of that, like, where, again, we're your knight in shining armor type moments where it's like, man, I'm so glad I married you because you're wonderful. So we need some of those things too as we go into that passionate level of sex. So sex should never be a punishment, okay, and it should never be a reward. I've heard spouses before where I've been out in public with spouses, and one of them will look at him and go, what you thought was going to happen tonight isn't happening, so you can stop. And I was like, goodness gracious. Like, that's rough. That should never be words that you say. Like, never. Because you just basically said, there's no way that I'm going to forgive you. There's no way that we're going to work this thing out. I mean, it's like a dam, and you just created this dam, and it's impossible to break. But sex should never be a punishment or a reward. Sex is a gift from God. It solidifies the union. It helps to bring joy and pleasure into your marriage. It should never be used as a bribe, right? I mean, that reward moment. And again, that lack of should never be used as a threat. That's not how sex works. That's horrible. It's not a good thing. Sex is a gift. I believe that every person should ask these questions involving intimacy. First question, can I trust this person completely with every area of my life? I'm going to say it again. Can I trust this person completely with every area of my life? Second question, am I fully devoted and committed to my spouse? Am I fully devoted and committed to my spouse? Is there something holding me back? Is there something holding me back? These are three hard questions that we need to ask our spouse. Ask ourselves, and then ask our spouse. Those are very hard because they are revealing. And some of it's going to be real tough. Because you're going to hear something that you should have done 5 years ago. And you got no answer for it. And it should have been addressed 5 years ago, but there wasn't a healthy way to actually do it. And you just allowed a bitter seed to take root. And that's one of the reasons why you don't have a nakedness, a vulnerability of open. And so that's where it's muddy. Muddy. So you need to ask that question again. For every person, ask these questions involving intimacy. Can I trust this person completely with every area of my life? Am I fully devoted and committed to my spouse? And is there something holding me back? Men, your wife needs for you to be open. Oh man, I know that's not how you were taught maybe, because you're like, I'm hard. You need to be open. Tell her your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your desires. I know this is a horrible phrase to put it in, but let's put it in the box of slumber party. You're having a slumber party with your wife every evening. That's you want to get naked with your wife? Have a slumber party with her. Get up into bed, right? Make it comfortable. Bring some snacks into the bed and talk for about 2 hours about all your hopes and dreams. Slumber party will break any type of tension in the room. And you think I'm kidding? And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie. I hate it with a passion. I'll be real truthful. When my wife's like, can we talk? I'm like, no. So I'm going to be real, 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 real. Because I know what it means. It's like that means that I've got to focus. Right? And I've got to hear what she has to say. Like, so it's, I'm not going to lie, it's tough. I mean, it is. It's hard for me. And I'm breaking that. You know, you're breaking it. But there's nothing more exciting than to her talk about all the details. She got her nails done yesterday. That was enough for me. I got my nails done. Oh, they look beautiful. That's not what else she needed. She needed me to sit through the nail process of the person who did her nails and the place she went, what happened in the conversation that took place, how they did this nail this way and they should have done it that way. All right? She wanted to express all that to me. She needed me to hear it. All I needed to hear was, I got my nails done. That was good enough. Guess what happened this week? She got her hair did. I threw a blanket. She was being silly with me. And I threw a blanket at her as she was sitting there, and it went on her head. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. Carly, sitting two seats down on the couch, goes, don't do that. And I was like, don't do what? It's a blanket. I threw a blanket on your mom. Yeah, but you're messing up her hair. And I was like, something happened with her hair. So I take the blanket off, and her hair's like all this, you know, staticky and everything. Now she's laughing. She's totally fine because we were being silly. And so in that moment, I knew I messed up, right? Like, I didn't acknowledge that her hair was dead. So, men, you've got to be present. You just want to be present when it meets your needs. Like, but that's not how this works. You've got to be present because you're meeting her need. You're helping through this process. When you're present, God will reveal things to you where you go, oh, this is what she really needs. This is what's really happening. Or you can discover some of the roots and the helping and the pruning and the culture of it or the cultivating of it. That's where you've got to realize, I'm a part of this. So men, it's important. Her need for communication is the same level for your need of sex. So women, your need of communication is at the same level of his need for sex. Okay? Men love sex. Period. No, there's no getting around it. So stop avoiding this. So if you think, oh, my husband doesn't need that, I don't know what planet you're on. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He wants more than anything for you to touch him. And you're like, not my husband. Yes. If he doesn't want you to touch him, then there's something else involved here. That is trust. That is not a fully devoted, committed moment. Like, there's something wrong here. But I guarantee you, your husband wants you to touch him. And you need to touch him. But men, she wants to be heard. And you need to listen. You have to do this. In 1 Corinthians 7, 3-9, the husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. I have only known one couple in my entire life that has actually operated in that. FYI. Like, you know what I'm saying when I say that? That whole scripture of setting time apart for prayer is as if you're going to the desert to fast for 40 days and pray. So don't create this idea that only, like, it's one person's idea. Maybe we should refrain from sex for some time of prayer. Like, it needs to be like the both of you have decided, because there's some huge moment in your life that you're like, we need to decide for something. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Don't, because that's like an abusive way of manipulating the scriptures. Okay. All right. Let's read 5 again. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. It's calling it out. You've got to have sex. Otherwise, you're getting it from somewhere else. If you think that you're like, well, we haven't had sex in like 2 weeks or a month or 6 months, and you think that you're just married to a eunuch, you're naive. Verse 6. I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. So married, you're married. So that's what we were talking about. We're not talking about singles this morning. We're talking about married people. I believe when you're married, you're burning in lust. Okay? You're burning in this. So there's key ingredients for great sex. You ready? Two key ingredients. Great sex for a woman begins with communication, appreciation, and affection. So there's a hierarchy here. So men, you should have written this down. Great sex for a woman begins with communication, appreciation, and affection. Meaning, you can't put affection above communication. That's what happens with men. Like, you come in, you're like all frisky, you're honking things, you're squeezing things, right? I had to wake some of you up. I know that was totally inappropriate for some. But my kids aren't in the room, and right now I can say whatever I want. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you start with that affection, and then you just want to go straight to the bed. And that's where you're misaligned. Sometimes that works, but not all the time. So it starts with communication, appreciation, and then affection. Okay? Great sex for a man begins with appreciation, affection, and admiration. Okay? So, women, you should have written that down. That great sex for a man begins with appreciation. Men want to know they're the king of the castle. Men want to know these things, that they have a purpose. And when you begin to appreciate them in that way of like, hey, I'm so thankful I married you. I'm so thankful. Well, you got to give them a reason, by the way. You don't want them to make up stuff, right? So are you kind? Are you gentle? Are you a provider? Are you a protector? You know, are you doting on them, loving on them in that way that they can actually respond in that? Do you just want them to make things up? That's silly. So actually give them something. So it starts with that appreciation where you go, thanks, baby. That means a lot. Then talk about like full-on experience of passion and affection. When you then begin with affection, because what you've done is you've just opened up the heart of the man where they're like, yeah, this is great. I feel appreciated. And it takes down all of the hard shell. And you begin to open up. Guys, I only had 45 minutes to talk to you about affection and needs. And I know I painted a lot of broad strokes here. I know for some of you in this room, you're like, you could have gone longer. Absolutely, we could have gone longer. There's so many complicated things. That's why it's important that these are baby steps. If anything, all I'm trying to do is make you aware of some of your basic needs and where it's coming from. It's got to start with God. And then as the need begins to be fulfilled by Him, you're able to now pour into your spouse the overflow. And it's healthy and it's good and it's clean. And there's a balance to it. It all starts right here. And then you should use sex as an indicator for whether or not you're healthy or not. If I go to communion with my Heavenly Father, the cup and the bread, right? And I'm just like, no, I don't want to do this. Then I'm not in communion with His obedient word for my life. Like I'm in just odds. And that's not what I should be in. As a Christian, I've called myself a Christian, a follower of Christ. Therefore, I'm a doer of His word. And by taking the covenant communion, I'm in communion with Him. That's why He looked at Judas and says, hey, get out. So before they took communion, Judas was instructed to leave in the upper room. And the same way for us, when we go into our marriage covenant, sex in itself is that communion, that covenant moment that we have with one another. And it is an indicator of where you are in a healthy manner of your marriage. Are you serving? Are you selfless? Are you a helpmate? Are you a communicator? Are you expressing the vulnerability of full nakedness, spiritual? Are you completely vulnerable to your spouse? You can say, I am just completely open to you. So those are the questions you have to ask. And get yourself in the correct trajectory, because you got small things taking you off the path. But get in that correctedness where you go, God, correct me, correct my ways. And so I would encourage you, begin to ask yourself those questions about sex. Begin to ask yourself these questions about intimacy and am I doting on my spouse from a godly perspective? Is it manipulative? Those are the questions you have to ask yourself. So I've got 7 questions. Again, we did this last week. I got 7 new questions for this week. They are on the church app underneath the message notes. You can also scan the QR code to get those. You don't have to take a photo right now of this, but the 7 questions I have for you to ask this week, and we'll post them on social media as well. But what is one fun thing you would like to add into your relationship? One fun thing. Now, if you think I'm talking about sex, sure. If you want to add one fun thing into it, do it. Talk about it. That's the vulnerability about it. I'd like to get more frisky. Talk about it. Okay? There's nothing wrong with it. Number 2, what communication do you need more of from me? What communication do you need more of from me? Do you feel that I'm grateful for you? And how can I show more gratefulness to you? What topic is the most difficult for you to discuss with me? By the way, you should ask why. Why is this topic difficult? That's very revealing. Why is this topic difficult? Number 5, do you feel like we have enough sex? It's a great question. Some of you are like, maybe we should have sex once a week, but your spouse is thinking 3 times a week. And you're like, once a week? Yes, I think you should definitely have sex regularly at least once a week. I mean, that's my own personal thought. If not 5 times a week, if you can. Now, I know what I just did right there. You're like, oh my Lord. My wife even sitting there going, you just created a standard that might not be realistic for some. I'm telling you to put it up high. Like, set standards high of like, well, I want to engage with my spouse. Like, an openness about it. A full nakedness. That's what I'm trying to say. Is 5 realistic? Probably not. If it is for you, well done. But truthfully, you need to be passionately burning for your spouse. You should be going after them with full attention. So ask yourself, do you feel like we have enough sex? And then say, what are we going to do to change it? What do you need from me? What do I need to do to change? Number 6, what's your biggest dream for our marriage? What's your biggest dream for our marriage? And then finally, number 7, how can I pray for you? That's the number 1. How can I pray for you? What are your basic needs? I got to pray and wrap this up. Guys, again, marriage is not easy. It's 2 people, and that's why Paul said it. Your attention's on so many different things, and it's easier just to be single. And that's what Paul believed, and he's given us that thought. So I get it. Marriage is complicated. It takes work. Marriage is spelled W-O-R-K. Put some work into it this week. Sow some good seed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, that you've given us. God, I thank you for revelation. Lord, I thank you to reveal some things to us so that, Lord, we can have healthy marriages that succeed in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for it. It's in my name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You guys, next week, more marriage. You guys have a great week. We'll see you guys later.